Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Fornari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back, welcome back. We're here again right before, 3 weeks before the holiday. I'm here with Carol. Carol, are you there?
I am here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I had a little frog right there. So today I wanted to, and we wanted to, continue on one of our favorite subjects, but we wanted to look at it from a different angle. When we're talking about hormones, or when you hear hormone discussions, or even look them up, they're generally slated toward or directed toward older people, menopausal, perimenopausal, postmenopausal, males in andropause, and we're looking at that decline there, and we've got gauging it, seeing it, how it influences our moods, our mental state, our immunity, and our overall relationship and energy for living. But we have another problem, and that's what we wanted to address today, is younger people, younger women, younger males. There are many problems and confusion in that age group in relationship to their health, in relationship to women and their cycles, in relationship to males and their virility. And today we wanted to discuss, particularly we want to start out with younger women and PMS. What's happening there? I remember I was on a radio show with Dr. Ali, and Dr. Ali stated that that women were not put on this earth to suffer monthly. This is something that is new. This is something that's an endemic of our society here and now. He said when he was a young doctor, and when he was beginning in Pakistan, he didn't see this to this degree. But now it's so common. Over 80% of younger women have pain, have fatigue, have insomnia, have anxiety, and it goes on to even more severe, doubled over pain, vomiting, headaches, all monthly. So, Carol, do you think that's a good subject?
Yeah. I think revisit PMS.
Exactly.
If you should find yourself actually going to a doctor, they probably just plop you on some birth control pills and call it a day. But it really is quite treatable. And young girls should know you don't have to suffer like this. Dr. Katarina Dalton published, I think the date of publication of her book was once a month. She characterized the symptoms of PMS. They're physical, they're emotional, they're all over the board, which makes it hard. Our conventional medicine system likes to have a pill for every ill. And then when it turns out that your body system's involved in too many things, they don't like it. It's something that they avoid. But she published far before that about PMS, premenstrual syndrome, and she suffered from this herself. Corinne?
Well, a pill for every ill is literally the definition of suppression of every ill. I mean, how many of us know of a pill that is directed at healing us so many of our parents are on hypertension medicines and they've been on it for years. Was that an attempt to heal or an attempt to suppress symptoms? So many of us are on diabetic medicines. Is that an attempt to heal or to suppress symptoms? And when you're dealing with PMS or any type of symptoms therein, when you start giving out medicines like birth control, is that an attempt to heal or is it an attempt to suppress symptoms? And when we're suppressing symptoms, what happens to our bodies? Where do we go from there? Is the syndrome that we were attempting to deal with, is it getting worse as a result of the suppression? That's what we're going to be looking at today. But you know what else? We want to include you. It has been so much fun the last couple of weeks having people call in and add to the conversation. It gives the conversation just so much more life. But more than that, we're able to answer your questions. So I'm going to give you the number now, and I'll give it out a little bit later. But the earlier you call, the better, because sometimes you get stuck on the phone and we can't get to you. So the number is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. So, Carol?
Okay, so all these symptoms that we call PMS, they occur between ovulation, middle of the cycle, the first day of the cycle, day one is first day of bleeding, mid-cycle around day 14, to day 28, maybe even longer once in a while. But women can have horrendous cramping. You can have heavy flows. You can have headache. You can have enormous fatigue. The list just goes on and on. And this is something that we have the means to easily correct. Dr. Katarina Dalton particularly specialized in catamenial epilepsy. Some young people, women, have episodes of seizures just before their cycle, or they have episodes of immense headaches. And the thing that she did was recognize that this is where progesterone is supposed to be high in your cycle, and maybe you're not getting enough of it. Now, conventional medicine sometimes turns that around and blames progesterone for your PMS because that's when it's supposed to be high. Is isn't it ironic?
You really look at the fact that it isn't high enough. So
right. And they'd rather do anything at all rather than offer you progesterone. And those mood things that we associate with PMS, anger, rage, even heart palpitations, panic, anxiety, they're so easily treated with progesterone. But the doses need to be generous.
I had a woman who came in, and she came in for PMS, but also just offhand, because this wasn't the problem she came in for, she was passing bowel every 4 to 5 days, nothing in between. And she said that when her period began, or right before her period, it was like another person had taken over her body, and she would be screaming and yelling and angry. And she would, she said, I would be watching myself going through this, and I would be watching myself, but I had no control over it. And then when the period came, the next day, I was myself again. And I can fill the hour with story after story of women who came to me with very similar similar sets of symptoms, each a little unique to each person, but that is not an uncommon statement when we're dealing with PMS.
Well, even suicidal tendencies. So I was at work taking phone calls, and this woman calls in, and she's saying she went to kill herself, and she happens to be clear across the country for where I am. I can't go running over there. And she had just been prescribed a little bit of progesterone. And I said, take your progesterone, use it every 15, 20 minutes, and let's touch base within an hour or two. And sure enough, we talked in about an hour. It entirely flipped her. She was calm. She was feeling okay. And she said, this just proves what I've always thought. She said, I'm telling everybody my problem is hormones, and they want to put me on antidepressants. So comes a few more days, and her nurse practitioner calls me, and called me on the carpet, which I did take some leeway, I have to say, but this was a desperate situation. She said, how dare you? Exactly. Advise this patient to use something other than what I prescribed. And I said, doesn't it matter to you that she's about to kill herself and now she's okay? I think this needs to be looked at. And anyhow, the woman got another practitioner, hopefully somebody more in tune with
intuitive in the hormones. See, there's two things here that I wanted to bring up. One is that when we're dealing with hormones, it's an art and a science. So the art is balancing things for the individual in front of you. And the science is an understanding of how the hormones work together to create a balance in your body. So with that in mind, that's the type of doctor that you want to, or medical person that you want to consult with. Because if they're looking at a book and, this is the way you prescribe hormones, you're not going to get the care you need because it's not individualized enough for you. But the other thing I want to bring up, and I want to share this, and maybe Carol can help us with this answer, is why? Why are people so low in hormones, in hormone balance, in progesterone at this time of their lives and at this time that we live in?
Well, we talked about that a bit last week. We have tremendous stressors going on in our lives right now, and progesterone's an immediate precursor for hydrocortisone. And hopefully your body will make more hydrocortisone out of progesterone to help you deal with stress. Low hydrocortisone looks like lots of allergies, lots of autoimmune stuff, lots of inflammation.
Sounds like our society right now.
Yeah, right. I found two papers. One is people struggling with post-COVID stuff. Hydrocortisone's a big deal. It's very low. They're measuring very low levels in long COVID or vaccine injury or whatever. Also found a paper for progesterone, the very same thing. Progesterone can be used to help bolster up the adrenals. It is an adrenal hormone as well as an ovarian hormone. So that's needed, and it's published as being probably effective for treatment.
So when we're dealing with this problem, as a practitioner and or as a patient, we want to look at multiple factors. And I think this is a broken record, but I'm going to start here. Are you getting enough sleep? That's so essential for your body's ability to be able to balance itself. The other is, what is your diet like? Well, what does diet have to do with PMS?
Everything.
A lot to do. Because what we're dealing with is that when we're on a high carb diet, which is what we were trained to eat for years, we were trained to eat high carbs and regularly with snacks, etc. What you're doing is you're surging up your insulin levels, which creates inflammation in the cells, but it also blocks the body's ability to make sex hormone binding globulin. And that's the globulin that when the body makes hormones, it attaches to the sex hormone binding globulin. And the binding globulin has a couple of factors, but one of them is that it shuttles the hormones to where they need to be. And it also reduces the effect of excess hormone on your body. And that all happens in the liver. So when we think of hormones, we think, oh my goodness, hormones, we're powerless. But I'm sorry, that is not true. You are not powerless at all. You have a very direct cause and effect on your diet, on your foods, and how you approach that to help control or direct your hormones. I'm going to say two other things and pass it to you, Carol. You really want to look at your thyroid. The other day, I asked one of my patients, I said, how's your thyroid? Oh, perfect. My doctor told me it was perfect. So I said, can I look at that test? You get it to me so I can look at it. And there is no way she was perfect. And she was very low thyroid. And consequently, I did another blood test, and I found that she had very high autoimmune antibodies. So not only was she low normal in her thyroid level, she was all inflamed because her body was literally like an arthritis attacking her thyroid cells. So how can you create balances when that's happening and it's not being dealt with or even looked at as part of the cause?
This is low thyroid is something I would look at right away if there are missing cycles, if you're not having regular cycles. And I've heard that from patients. They haven't had a cycle in 9 months, and they're a young woman. What the heck? So I do look for progesterone deficiencies there, but thyroid has a lot to do with timing. And if you want to have a baby, you really need to look at thyroid, because you need even extra thyroid. When you're growing a baby, not only should your thyroid be really good, but the mom has to provide more thyroid activity for the fetus, or you end up with a low thyroid baby. And you sort of, Broda Barnes wrote about this, it's generational, that the mom can be low thyroid, then the baby's low thyroid, and when they grow up and want to marry, they'll marry a low thyroid person too. And it just, because
energies match.
Right.
Comfortable around each other.
Right. If one person is energetic and the other one can't get out of bed, what do you think happens? That relationship is doomed.
So what if they both sleep late together?
So it kind of this relationship stuff can promote a low thyroid kind of situation. Well, how do you know? You have a baby. You have a baby, and you have a baby that's I was just going to say colicky. You know that thing, the umbilicus, when it pokes out? They even do surgeries on that. That's a sign of a low thyroid baby. And the baby has very, very fine hair. Skin is very pale. And it's not a thriving baby. It's a tough situation.
You often see them very sniffly. They often have colic because they don't have enough hydrochloric acid. They're not able to make it. And then you have a lowered immune system. So you have your little precious bundle right there, getting sick week after week after week. And it's just frightening for a mother to look at this child. What's happening? Why did this happen to my perfect little bundle? And some of it can be thyroid. Brother Barnes used to give thyroid to newborns.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty gutsy.
No, yeah. Well, considering what we're sticking into newborns.
Oh, my goodness.
These days, which is a travesty. Thyroid
is something very,
very, very benign. I wanted to bring up acne. So
first of all, let me just give the phone number, and then we'll go right there. 212-209-2877. Please give us a call. We would love you to join the conversation, share your experiences, or even ask questions. So, Carol, tell us about acne, because in that age group, in the young age group, into their 20s, it's such a severe problem for so many people. So what's going on there? Let's talk about that.
Well, I want to bring up a case, and this is not going to be a universal situation, but this mom called, and her daughter was reclusive. She didn't want to come out of her room. She was suffering terribly with acne. And we recommended some progesterone. And I got a call back from this mom. It was some months later. And I was quite astounded, but this is what she related. She said her daughter was living across the country in California. She brought her back to New York, and she got her daughter prescribed 100 milligrams of progesterone 4 times a day, which she took it every day. And she said the acne cleared up beautifully. And she said, my daughter's a very beautiful girl. She's modeling now.
Wow, how wonderful.
I know, just a lovely story. So there are mechanisms where acne can occur when progesterone is too low. Boys and girls, we give them derivatives of vitamin A too. And this is what I don't understand, because when I was first working in pharmacy, we were using vitamin A in generous doses and clearing up acne too. And there's an interrelationship with vitamin A and progesterone. If you don't have active vitamin A, you can't produce progesterone
exactly.
As well. So, why have we gone to, I know why we've gone to these synthetic vitamin A derivatives like Accutane and
which is really hard on the liver.
Oh, and we know someone who's had permanent liver damage. So this is shocking, where plain vitamin A and or progesterone should be able to help.
But then there's also literally, I don't know if it could be called an epidemic, but close to it, of polycystic ovary syndrome. And that's when the body is producing ineffective ovaries, ovum, and it's incredibly painful every single month. And there are multiple symptoms, and the symptoms are from hair loss, hair thinning, to severe acne, to facial hair, to
Change your body shape, even.
Chronic obesity, mm-hmm. and can be. Slim girls can also have polycystic ovaries.
And so can young men. And one of the clues for that is premature balding. I almost fell out of my chair listening to this lecture. And of course, there's insulin resistance all tied into this. But the lecture called Premature Balding, a Symptom of PCOS in Men, which of course they don't have ovaries, polycystic ovary disease, but they do have the same type of metabolic imbalance that we've talked about many times with insulin resistance. So this is really hard, and I for years have been wondering how to reach those young people with with polycystic ovary disease or the metabolic syndrome. And the only conferences I ever went to that some of the practitioners saw these young men and women were the student health nurses at universities. They would sometimes see these young people, and I said, well, what do you do for them? And they said, oh, we just put them in metformin. I said, you know, you can reverse this pretty easily. Well, it'd be a wonderful thing to do while this person is so young, and completely flip them out of this metabolic disorder with progesterone and with insulin glucose. Metformin's in the right direction, maybe, but I don't particularly like it. Start with diet. And so student health centers are totally not capable of giving these young people appropriate advice.
Well, no, because what they are is what they call, is it CDT? Was that the book that has the outline for every disease? Where you just open it up to the page of polycystic ovary disease and you do this, you do this, you do this, you take this test, and then you prescribe this and this and this in those orders. And that's the type of medicine they follow. And they're good people, but if they really went off of that, there would be problems for them. Now, Carol, we have a listener. I want to go do a little deeper dive into polycystic ovary disease right after we talk with this listener. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, you're live. Your name, please.
I heard you talking about...
Do you mind speaking up?
I heard you talking about thyroid.
Yes, can you yell at me?
Yeah, I heard you talking about thyroid.
Yes, better. Okay, go ahead.
Could you do a show just on thyroid sometime?
Sure.
It'll
be a long show.
Yes, for a while that was what we were doing regularly, to the point where, I think we've got to go somewhere else because thyroid was such an interesting and pervasive problem, and yet not really being dealt with. I gave lectures on thyroid, the hidden epidemic, the hidden epidemic within normal lab values. And we would talk constantly on thyroid. But when we're talking about most problems, we really always have to look at the thyroid, because the ability to balance our body is really based on thyroid and appropriate thyroid function. And so, yes, we'd love to give a talk on thyroid.
When you go to a doctor, how do you know if they're reading the thyroid test right?
They're not.
The range is very interesting because, well, I'm going to give you the example that Dr. Teitelbaum gave us, or gave me, and he said, you know, what are normal in shoes? Size 5 is normal, and size 11 is normal. So if you walk in and say, I want shoes, and you're naturally a size 10, and I give you a size 5, and you say, oh, these shoes don't fit, I don't feel right in them. And I say, wait a minute, they're normal, but they're not normal for you. The range to look at thyroid is too broad. It's
The TSH levels.
Exactly, the TSH, it's too broad. They need a narrower range, and they have tried to make that range narrower. The internists have suggested a new range. The endocrinologists have suggested a new range. But yet, the national labs have not taken that up. So you have this range that usually goes from 0.9 all the way up to 4.8 or 5.5, depending on the lab. And if you're 5.5, or even if you're 4 or 5. I can guarantee you, you are not feeling your best, but you're normal. So what's the problem? So you really have to look with a little bit of a suspicious eye at the TSH to find out and that it is in the right range for you.
There's another problem, autoimmune thyroiditis or Hashimoto's is rampant. I've seen numbers such as like 60% of those people with low thyroid have this autoimmune picture. And guess what? We almost never measure it. That should be, the first thing you measure. I just don't understand it.
Well, that's what I said. I looked at the blood test. It was on the low normal or high normal, whatever you want to say, but it was off. And then I took another test and I looked at autoimmune antibodies, and it was inflamed, very severely inflamed. So,
and why doesn't conventional medicine order the test? Because once they order the test, they don't know what to do with it, and it really is a gut integrity problem. You don't make these inflammatory molecules that affect your thyroid if you have an intact gut with a good microbiome. So that's where the treatment lies. Naturopaths are more gut directed than any form of conventional medicine. So you might find some help there.
We have another caller. I want to thank you so much for your call. Have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you again. Hello, you're live.
Hi. I
don't know what it is, but we're having trouble hearing you. Could you really speak
up? Are you
able to hear
me now? Yes. A little bit
better.
Excellent.
Okay. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about oxygen deprivation and balancing the body. I really got kind of hip to that through Dr. Ali's program, and I've seen you with Dr. Ali also, Corrine, on a lecture. In any case, I have very oily skin. It's kind of a hereditary kind of thing. All of the women in my family, even when they're very mature, they have quite a bit of oil, you know, on their skin. And Dr. Ali had suggested to use peroxide to introduce oxygen to the surface of the skin. And right away, it cleared up that problem. And then it made me start to think about oxygen and how it functions inside of the body. And I would love for you to do a show about that. It would allow the lay person to understand much better how things go wrong with the body from a very fundamental standpoint. Because juicing and green juicing and what heck brings oxygen inside the body, as Dr. Ali just introduced me very quickly. You know, okay, you're breaking out, put some peroxide, wash your face, put some peroxide, wash it off, you know, because peroxide can turn the hair white,
no.
You know. But that was something that I wanted you to consider and speak about.
Okay.
Very good.
We love to talk about oxygen, IV injections. We love to talk. We did quite a few series on it, and we brought in Dr. Brownstein because he's written a book on it. But we'll be, that's a great suggestion. But I also want to say your skin is a little oily. Well, you're one of those people with very few wrinkles then.
Exactly.
Because
it's very typical.
You
very
have
typical
some great
with,
looking skin for whatever age you're at. Because a little bit of moisture, a little bit more oily skin really doesn't get the same type of sun damage or the same type of those dry, fine wrinkles that we see so much in people as they age. So you're one of the lucky ones. Who am I to say anything about?
Okay, we have more callers holding.
Okay,
okay.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday. Hi.
Well, yes, no, it's amazing how many scammers there are on BAI, from Gary Noel to Corrine Fanari to Goodman.
Can you speak up?
You know, it's amazing how many scammers there are on BAI, from Gary Noel to Goodman to Reggie and Corrine Fanari. I mean, it's all about making money. You know, the BAI is like a real scam operation. Woo!
Well, I think I'm quite disappointed with that statement, because I know that I can speak for myself, and I can speak for Reggie, who works very hard trying to organize and keep things together. And we're not, I can speak for myself and Carol, we get no money for this. So to say we're a scam organization, I actually take offense, because you don't understand the meaning of WBAI if you could say that. So thank you so much. Have a wonderful holiday. Bye. Hello?
No more callers for now.
No more callers.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you, Reggie.
Reggie did say the last caller was asking about a thyroid book, and we've mentioned Broda Barnes a couple times. Broda Barnes spent 30 years studying thyroid, and it's let's see, what's the name of the book? Do you remember? I'm spacing on the name.
It's been
but,
so long.
Broda Barnes is great.
It's something really unique, like hypothyroid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hypothyroidism, the unsuspected illness.
Illness, yes.
Mark Starr wrote a very good book on thyroid called Type 2 Hypothyroidism. Also a very, very good book.
Those are very good books. And they're written on two levels. They're written for a practitioner to understand and to look at the whole picture rather than dialing down so small that you miss the person, and they're written for the lay person to understand so they can walk into a doctor's office or their practitioner's office and say, I need help in this area because of this, this, and this, and this. Could you please help me and check me in this, and this, and this area? So they're very, very good books. I want to give another example of a woman that I had with PMS and with hypothyroid, and nobody would treat her because she was within normal. She had pain in the lower part of her legs constantly, burning pain, pain in her joints. She was chronically constipated. She had severe PMS. And she kept on begging for thyroid. So they gave her a low level of thyroid, and her bowels started to move, and the pain in her legs went down. Some of the swelling went down, and my goodness, she got pregnant.
Yeah.
She was so happy. And so you know what they did? They took her off of thyroid.
Oh, no, just when she needed it.
Just when she needed it more. And it's very sad. So that's when I interceded and we created balances right there. But so I wanted to talk about, I want to give out the phone number again, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Let me see. So I wanted to talk about polycystic ovary disease. And what we're dealing with is we're dealing with the fact that our ovaries are being, and our cells are being so overstimulated by insulin that they're creating these inflammations. And the inflammation goes into the ovaries and interferes with the ability of the body to bring these ovaries into maturation. So they don't really mature. You have multiple ovum or little eggs that get ready to mature, but nothing goes into maturity. And so it creates this loop or circle of hormones that are being released that never are able to balance themselves. And what happens is, one of the things that happens is that the person with polycystic ovary disease, one, their sex hormone binding globulin goes down. Two, they their testosterone goes way up, and they get the signs of hirsutism. Young women who lose their hair, but in a very unique pattern in the front and in the circle in the back, who have severe acne, severe acne and who have double over pain with their menses cannot get pregnant. There are multiple ways that they have of treating this, and one of them is birth control pills. Another is metformin, which Carol mentioned with the last syndrome. And the thing about metformin, what does metformin do? It acts almost like chromium in the body in that it allows more easy access of the insulin into the cell, and it keeps the insulin down lower. So you're not getting these insulin surges, which are creating all this inflammation. And then they go to spironolactone, and then they go to Lupron when the pain becomes so severe, they block all hormones. But the end result is when you're in the middle of this syndrome, you can't get pregnant. And this is not older women, this is younger women, many of them wishing to conceive. So I wanted to say that there's a lot that we can do. And I did this in my office working with women regularly, but a lot that we can do even in our own homes by understanding that this is an insulin mediated, aggravated disease, and you can, through the way you eat, through a low carb diet with good fats, getting off of sugars, getting off of refined grains and all grains, eating in timed windows, you know, eating breakfast, eating dinner, don't snack. Snacking surges up the insulin, and so there's a constant insulin surge and a constant insulin stimulation on the cells, and working also with your bowels to clean up your intestines and allow a good microbiome to grow. And you can do that. You can do that with kefirs. You can do it with pickles, you can do it with unpasteurized sauerkraut, you can do it with kimchi. I just bought a big bottle of kimchi if you like spicy. There are multiple ways to do this. And that was one of the tricks at Hippocrates Clinic, is one of the main things they did was they made this fermented juice that they would have buckets made and have everybody that came there drinking this. And literally within a few days, their intestines
changed their microbiome.
Exactly. Functioning totally differently. Carol? Wait,
we've got a couple more callers holding.
Oh, my goodness. Hi.
Hi.
You're live. Your name, please.
This is Diane from the Bronx.
Hi, Diane from the Bronx.
How are you doing? Great. Oh, and I'm glad I caught you. I was on early, and then they knocked me off, and then I had to get back on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But that's okay. But I was calling because a part of my my issue is doesn't sound like it's on the target with the discussion. At one point you were doing nitric oxide, and I hope I could bring it up. You had mentioned that you should be eating arugula.
And beetroot.
And beets.
And beets?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. All right. So arugula and beets. And then there was also something about testing something with strips, and I thought I didn't recall getting any strips, but is there a place that I could go get those?
Yes, actually, I have that company on my website, the wellnessbydesignproject.com. Berkeley Life is the name of the company. Berkeley Life.
Berkeley. Okay, great, yeah. Great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay.
And we have another caller.
And happy holidays. Hi, you're live.
Hello.
Hello. Can you speak up, please?
Yeah. Well, June, a lot of children have been diagnosed with hyperactivity today. Young children, could this be a cause of a hormone condition in the woman when she's pregnant, or not taking vitamins, or?
The short answer is yes. And actually, you can have a pregnancy where progesterone is supposed to be very, very high when you're pregnant. The lab ranges for pregnancy after the first trimester that are considered normal is all the way from 200 to 500 picograms per milliliter. So this is huge range, and I believe that somewhere in that range, you can actually get pregnant at 50. But I believe that there is a range in there that's probably ideal. We don't have any idea. If you have plenty of progesterone, it supports thyroid both in the mom and the baby. Now, having said that, what do? We have a baby and we start giving them some horrible things, and we feed them artificial things and not breast milk and all sorts of not really healthy things. So a lot of work has been done in this area. I remember Feingold, for example, was one of the first to demonstrate all these dyes that they were using in candies were causing problems, more so even than just the plain sugar, putting the dyes in these things. So there's all kinds of assaults that our children are experiencing in these days. But ADD, ADHD is a high adrenaline situation. And when that happens, it's happening because both progesterone and hydrocortisone are low. So these kids could be evaluated for their hormones, and they could be helped with hormone support. And thyroid is probably a big deal, too, for them.
And there's something else, is that what they found with they did studies with hyperactive boys. They didn't do them with young girls, but they did them with boys, is that those children did very, very well with cod liver oil, with a tablespoon of cod liver oil every day, and it calmed them down, allowed them to focus. The essential fats are usually and regularly what people are deficient in, but I would also add magnesium to that, and you might see that this can turn around. This is not a lost cause. These can turn around, but it's going to take focus. It's going to maybe take you changing the foods that come into the house, which means there can't be food hidden that the parents eat at night after the kids are in bed. It's a family problem, and the family is working with it. So thank you so much for your call. Good luck. Call us back and tell us how it worked. And happy holidays. And we have another caller.
Yes.
Hi. You're live?
Hello.
Hi. Could you speak up, please?
Hello.
Yes, hello.
Your name, please?
I have a question it's not in connection with your program today. I have a young cousin, male, who lives in Canada, and I think he would benefit from speaking with you. Is there any way that he can call you? Because he would call you from Canada.
Yeah, both of us have websites, and you can arrange to have consultations with us. Mine is thewellnessbydesignproject.com, and Corinne, you're CorinneHealth.com,
yes.
Correct?
CorinneHealth.com or FernariHealth.com, either one.
Yeah, go to our websites and
Wellness you can make by arrangements. Design?
TheWellnessByDesignProject.com.
Thank you for your call. Have a wonderful holiday. Is there anyone else, Reggie?
Nope.
No? Nope. Okay. Well, we're coming to the end, and there's something else I wanted to speak about. And this was brought to my attention by Carol, and it was it kind of blew my mind when I started reading it. And actually, I thought the whole program was going to be about this, but we got so involved. And it is the relationship of potassium, one of the number one minerals in the body, to PMS symptoms, and how it works and why it works, and how a majority of the nation, just like magnesium, are low in potassium. And potassium, I know that, and potassium is about 98%, 97% intracellular. And so that leaves about 2 or 3% in the bloodstream. So that's, that 2 or 3% is how we're measuring what is in the rest of the body. I know when I get, we were talking about how being very critical of the ranges. When I get my potassium level back for my patients who are complaining of fatigue or inability to think, or what, I look at the potassium level, and now what are the numbers? I think it's 2.5 to 4.5, and very often it's right in the middle. Well, I ask people to raise it to the high normal level. This, you don't want to go above normal, but high normal level. And people begin to feel better when they increase their potassium and increase their magnesium. But at the same time, with the increase in potassium, what you find is your body becomes more sensitive to progesterone. Well, my goodness, it's a full circle, isn't it, Carol?
Yeah, sure is. this woman published a small study she did, but she's talking about debilitating exhaustion, severe depression, uncontrollable anger, inability to cope with even the most minor problems are some of the symptoms, the more severe symptoms of PMS that are regularly occurring every single month. And potassium in her study was able to help with this. They're more absentees from work. There's admissions to psychiatric facilities, suicide attempts, and alcohol dependence when all this is going on. So now,
you can increase your foods with potassium, which would be avocados, maybe some bananas, but lots of greens. But at the same time, if you're deficient, you need more than that. You probably need a capsule to be able to see the effects and the changes that can happen. And Carol, we're coming right to the
end.
We're to the end. So, Reggie, I want to thank you very much. I appreciate you and appreciate the work you do. And Carol, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to work with you and be on the air with you.
Always fun. And our audience, thanks for all the callers calling in. We appreciate you.
Yes, it's wonderful. We love your participation. It gives us this wonderful connection with our community. So thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines.